Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 8, 7, right?
Yes, sir.
7. Explanation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for His departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmins, headed by Śrīla Vyāsadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. Shri Chaitanya Manabhisram Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakaramaya Dadati Svaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, they say everything is one. God is equal to the living entity. We're all one somehow. But the Vaishnava philosophy says, no, we're one and different. And we emphasize the difference. We're not one with God. How can we be one with God? God is, by His, you can say, energy, the sun is coming in the morning, the seasons are changing, so many things. Can we claim that we have that same power? No, of course not. But at the same time, we're not outside of God. Mama Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're the Amsa, we're the fragment. Particle of God, just like the sun and the sunlight. The sunlight is also nothing but sun, but it's also different than the sun. When we open a shade, if the sun is coming in, we say the sun is in the room. But if the sun was in the room, we'd burn up, right? So there's a difference between sunlight and sun. Similarly, there's a difference between God and the living entity. The living entity is small, God is great. Because we're small, sometimes we become covered by the third energy. Now we've described two energies, the Lord and the living entity. The third energy is material energy. Material energy has no consciousness, dead stone. So the living entity, when he wants to compete with the Lord, then the Lord puts him into the material energy and said, okay, now you can imagine that you're God. You're not God, but if you want to think you're God, okay, here's the dead matter. You can manipulate this dead matter in such a way that you feel that you're superior and that you're the controller and you're the enjoyer. But this is not really the case, but you can imagine like that. Just like if we have a naughty child causing disturbance, we may put them in another room and put some, guard rail there so they don't come and disturb us here. And they can play there and they can imagine they're playing with their toys and thinking that they're, the enjoyers. But we can see that actually they're in a confinement. Similarly, the living entities here in the material world, they're all being confined. They're conditioned by their karma. For instance, we may have a desire to just immediately go to your house, but you can't because you have your body, you have to bring your body, you have to go in the car, you have to go. So we're conditioned by our body. And of course, it's very clear how the body is conditioning us in the sense that we're getting older and we have disease and we have trouble from other living entities. None of these things we want, but we're forced to accept because we're in a conditioned state. We may think we're free. There is some a kind of freedom is there. We give the example of a cow tied to a tree with a rope. So the cow is free. You can go on this side of the tree or this side of the tree. But still, when you look at it from another perspective, you say the cow is tied up. He's not free. He's got some freedom within some deterring limits, but he's not really free. So that's our position now. We may think we're free or we can go here or there, but really we're conditioned. We're not free. We're bound up. But we want to become free. That's true. Everyone wants freedom. We want to be liberated. But real liberation comes when we again connect with God. This is called yoga. And we're teaching this bhakti yoga. We're learning and teaching at the same time. We're hearing from Krishna. If we read Bhagavad Gita carefully, we'll see. Throughout the pages of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teaching this science of bhakti yoga, how to connect to God through loving devotion. This is the easiest, most direct, sublime process, how to get liberated, how to get out of this conditioned state. But the problem is, just like your friends will say, no, we're happy, we're doing good, we're okay. So this is the illusion. This is a maya. Maya has captured you, you're not okay because you're in a conditioned state. You have to suffer. You have to die. You have to experience disease and old age. But still you think you're okay. This is called Maya. Maya means illusion. Maya means that which is not. You're not okay. You could be okay if you come to the spiritual point, if you come to the spiritual platform, then you can be okay. But now you're in a prison house, in a conditioned state. So therefore, the acharya is coming. Like this, you see the, oh, you don't have a picture of Prabhupada yet. We have a wonderful picture of Prabhupada in this book, on this particular page. Here's the acharya. He's calling us. Don't remain sleeping in the material world. Wake up. Come out of this conditioned state. Come to the spiritual platform. And he's doing that by introducing us to Krishna. We say, first of all, you say, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a spiritual master. Then by the mercy of spiritual master, one gets Krishna. So, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're being introduced to Krishna. And here Krishna has kindly appeared on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam here. And he's accepting worship from the Brahmins. But this is not proper, Kshatriya. How can he accept worship? Because the Brahmins, headed by Vyasadeva, they know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is above the social custom. Social custom is the Brahmin is offered respect, the Kshatriya is lower, and then the Vaishya, then the Sudra. This also may be confusing to people. Oh, this is the caste system, we should do away. No, everyone is equal. It's not true. Everyone is not equal. Even in your communist state, where they want to make everyone equal, still, someone is sitting in the chair of the president, and somebody is cleaning the toilets. How can you say equal? So, the Bhagavad Gita explains that it's not by birth, but it's by qualification and work. These two things. Quality and work, that one is situated in some particular division. Just like the body is divided. There's a leg, and the belly, and the arms, and the head. They're all valuable. This is a wrong idea. This is why the people are rebelling against the so-called caste system. Because that when the head starts hurting the legs, then you know something is wrong. If the Brahmins start killing the Sudras, the lower class, then that means they don't understand. Because they're also the leg is part of the body. But these aren't real Brahmins. That's the problem. They're not real Sudras either. They're all malechas and lower than. They're not even in this category. Varnashram. They don't really have a varna. They're untouchables practically. Everyone has become untouchables by the influence of the Kali Yuga. And of course, we're coming from that same background here in America. They're all Yavana Malechas, meat eaters. My mother was a meat eater and she was smoking and so on. So I'm not claiming that we're so high class, but we can still appreciate the system that Krishna gave. The system is that there is a high class man. And that not by birth, but by qualification. The qualification of the Brahmin, we have Bhagavad Gita. We can read in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter. This is scientific. It's not by birth, but by actual, you read, 18th chapter, what is it, 63 or something? how the Brahmin looks. In other words, what is his qualification? We have to see. We're not just accepting blindly. You're claiming to be a Brahmin, but you're becoming unnecessarily angry, or your habits are you're smoking a bidi, or you're pulling a rickshaw, but you're thinking that you're brown. No, that's the second point. Not only the qualities, but also the work. A real Brahmin, he doesn't take a job in a bank. He doesn't work in a gas station. That's not a Brahmin. The Brahmin is he has certain functions. He can teach. He can so on and so. You didn't find it?
No, it's
not. Well, it's before 63. Brahma Karma, is it? So, practically, there are very few Brahmins left in the Kali Yuga. And therefore, Prabhupada was trying to create a class of Brahmins. The Brahmin is working by Samo Dhammas Tapaso Cham. Samo should start. Samo, S-A-N. You found it? All the time you study, you should know where these verses are. We're going to make him a scholar. But I think instead of studying, he sleeps.
Samo
Damo. What is it? 18 what?
62.
I said before, 63, yeah.
Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work.
Next, the Kshatriya.
Heroism, power, determination,
resourcefulness.
Yeah, resourcefulness, courage in battle, courage in battle, generosity.
Like Karna was a famous for giving charity.
And leadership are the natural qualities of work for the kshatriyas.
And the next,
farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas.
And the next?
For the Shudras, there is labor and service to others. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done.
So in other words, you don't have to change. We don't say, okay, you're working as a Vaishya, now you should give that up and become sannyasi or something. No, you can become perfect from any position. But then you have to understand there are certain guidelines that you should follow. That is, you should give charity to the Brahmins. You should give tax to the Kshatriya. In other words, the Kshatriya is like the administrator. You have to pay your tax, the IRS. That's given. And then you have to use your money in a religious way. Not just that you become so extravagant, like we see people do, and then you become spoiled because of money. So many people get spoiled when they have money. That's a fact. It degrades them because they don't know how to use it properly. But the good Vaishya family, sometimes in India you see Vaishya families like the Birla families, and for generations they've been doing business. They know how to do it without becoming affected. Even though so much money may go through their hands, they don't live so extravagantly, or they don't spoil the money or become crazy because of the money. But a sudra, if he gets a lot of money, then he may do all nonsense things because he doesn't know how to spend it properly. So these things you have to, understand what is your position and how to act in that position. So the Vedic culture was giving that, these guidelines. But unfortunately, because the higher class people started abusing their position, the Brahmins started demanding respect when they weren't commanding it. They didn't have these qualities. And so people rebel and say, no, we don't care for this anymore. This is a caste system. We don't care. But what do you have in replace of it? You have democracy. Democracy means that the majority of people decide. But the majority of people in any culture are the sudras. That's given. The majority of people are workers. You go to the factory. Everybody's working, and there's a couple of supervisors and somebody else is in the office. The majority of people are working. This is the ordinary way that society is populated. By the majority being the sudra. So now you give the sudra the power. Okay, the sudra can decide, yes, we want to be allowed to have abortions without any restriction. Now, in the Vedic culture, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas would say, no, it's not your desire, it's not your position to make the law. The law is coming from God, and we're representing God, so this is the law. You can't kill the child in the womb just because you want to have more children or you want to have sex life without being responsible. There's a reaction will come to you. You don't know, you can't see, but there's a law of karma is going to come. If you kill the child in the womb, you're going to have to suffer. Therefore, the law is you can't kill the child in the womb. But if 90% of the people in the world say, no, we want to be able to kill the child in the womb, so because democracy is there, so okay, you can kill. And then it becomes more degraded. Then the more sinful reactions are there. And then you wonder why the people are at war in Iraq or whatever. Because there's so much sinful life going on that the karmic reaction is coming to the people in general. Therefore, the leader should be the highest class man, like Prabhupada. He was qualified to guide the whole society. Sometimes he said like that. One man who can see, he can lead 1,000 blind people. Because he just tells them, okay, you hold his hand, you hold his hand, and you come like this, walk this way. So one man who can see, he can lead the whole society. But we don't have any men like that who can actually see what is right, what is wrong, what to do, what not to do. People don't know what to do. Even now, you ask the people, should we continue this war in Iraq or not? You know, people are confused because it's not clear. Because there's no clear principle of religion. And therefore, the whole society becomes disturbed. So Prabhupada wanted to create a class of men who could actually know what was right and what is wrong. And then they could guide us. And we'd be happy to follow. So, this is the idea. Then, naturally, if you have good guidance, then those who are martially spirited, like the Marines or somebody going to fight, then you guide them in a proper way. Yeah, you can fight, but you don't fight the wrong people. You have to fight those who are aggressors or something. You know, there's a certain laws. Just like Arjuna was hesitating to fight. He was saying, how can I fight? This is a ghastly business. But Krishna said, no, this is proper because Duryodhana is sinful. And he's taken over you. He's usurped the throne of your brother, Yudhisthira, who is religious, religion profound. Therefore, I want that Yudhisthira should be on the throne. Even attempts were made to make peace. It wasn't possible. So please continue with this fight. This fight is proper. This fight is on principle of religion. So we don't say we're pacifists, but you have to fight on principle of religion. This is the secret. And nobody knows the principle of religion. Therefore, we're trying to learn what is the principle of religion. We're trying to be trained up. Okay? Maybe we'll stop here. You can try to digest. Sometimes we find if you give too much, then you don't understand what, you know what I mean? I'd rather go a little dose, a little bit. We can read the verse again. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu. So the sons of Pandu, they included Satyaki and Uddhava. See, it says in the Sanskrit. Satyaki was the dear friend. He fought through the whole battle with them, with the Pandavas. He was like their sixth brother, Satyaki. And Uddhava, of course, was very dear to Krishna. He was in Dwarka. He wasn't taking part in the battle, but he came to see Krishna. So they were included, the sons of Pandu. And when Krishna was leaving. And when he was leaving, Uddhava was going to go with him. But Satyaki stays with the Pandavas. He's like that. He's a Kshatriya. Uddhava is more like a Brahmin.
He was another son of Pandu?
No. Uddhava was, I don't know who his mother and father were. But he was with Krishna in Dwarka. He wasn't in the Vrindavan Leela or Mathura Leela. He was Krishna's friend from in Dwarka. Advisor. He was a Brahmin. He was sent by Krishna to give a message to the gopis in Vrindavan. That was later on, after the battle. So Uddhava really doesn't become involved until now, after the battle of Kurukshetra. We don't read about him in the Mahabharata. We don't read about him in the early pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. But when Krishna goes to Dwarka, then Uddhava is there as his dear friend. He even looked like Krishna. When he first came to Vrindavan, the gopis thought, oh, is this Krishna has come? Then he said, oh, they could see, no, it wasn't Krishna, but he looked. And we can read in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's called the Uddhava Gita. There Krishna is giving advice, just like he did to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita. This is the Uddhava Gita. He's giving very intimate instructions to Uddhava. Before he leaves, before Krishna leaves the planet, he tells Uddhava should stay, and he instructs Uddhava on this science of devotion. Very nice sections there in the 11th canto. Little by little, you can read all the Prabhupada's books.
So Krishna told Uddhava?
Yeah, he told him.
Is there another Gita about that?
Yeah. Gita means song. It goes on. There's quite a few chapters. 11th canto. Do we have it here?
Yeah.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
what they call Uddhav Gita.
Talks with Uddhav. He asks him so many questions, and he answers. Same kind of as the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, what Krishna strikes Uddhava.
Like here he's saying, my dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speeches, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all the objects of the material senses are temporary. So this is just one instruction he's giving. It goes on like this for chapters, a few chapters. Okay, in other words, it's here. There's so much more. I'm saying we're just beginning. If you want to take it seriously, you can little by little, the rest of your life, read one verse, two verse every day, and you'll find that there's a great wealth here that can inspire you. Just like Mahatma Gandhi was said, when I feel discouraged or something, then I read one verse from Bhagavad Gita, and then I find new life, new light. So in the same way, we have this wealth. We're very fortunate to have this wealth of literature that Prabhupada has translated, very authorized literature. Therefore, we emphasize book distribution. We want people to have these books so that they can benefit. And of course, if you come, then we can explain. This is also valuable, because just reading the book, you may become confused.
Yes, that is.
Yeah. Therefore, if you become confused, you should write down. If you're reading something and you don't understand, then make a note. What does this mean? Then when you come to me or whoever, we can explain.
Well, like you said, a brahmana should do a certain kind of work, right?
Like Krishna says.
Like Krishna say, but like in this Kali Yuga, like sometimes brahmana don't have no choice and they have to work.
Now it says, that's also mentioned. In emergency, the brahmins can do certain work, certain kind of things they're allowed to do. But other things they're
like
not allowed.
Sometimes they have family and have no choice. Like,
yeah.
They can do all other varnas without shudra.
Yeah, even if the emergency, he can't become a sudra. He can't just, So that, he can become a vaishya, but he's not supposed to become a sudra. Then otherwise he loses his caste. That's okay, he's not a brahmin anymore.
So like I said, I was talking
about, at least he shouldn't claim I'm a brahmin because I was born in a brahmin family, but I'm working in the bank. I'm not a brahmin. Just admit it. Okay, I'm not a brahmin. I was born in a brahmin family, but I'm not a brahmin. Because that's the disease, you see? Just like if your father's a high court judge, and you're born as a son of the high court, does that make you a high court judge?
Yeah.
No, you're the son of a high court judge. Similarly, you can say, I'm the son of the brahmin, but I'm not a brahmin because I'm not working as a brahmin. I don't have the qualities of a brahmin. But the problem is people don't even have the quality. They're still saying, you should respect me, I'm a brahmin.
Right.
But that's not right. You're not a brahmin. You're not doing the work of a brahmin. You're working in a bank. You follow?
Yeah.
But that's why it's become disturbed. Just like nobody will say, hey, you have to offer me respect like my father, because my father's a high court judge. You should also call me your honor. No, we don't call you your honor. Your father we call you. He's the high court judge. You're not the high court judge. So yeah, if people can't live as Brahmins, then they should admit, okay, I'm not a Brahmin.
But he born as a Brahmin.
That's different. I was born suppose you're born in a military family. Your father's a general. Doesn't mean that you're a general. You may not even have a desire to work in that way. You may instead prefer to be whatever.
So what he should do to get, like...
To be honest, just be honest.
Yes.
Don't claim that you're a Brahmin if you're not working like a Brahmin. What is a Brahmin has to see everyone equal?
What kind of work he can do beside Brahmin?
You can do any kind of work. But if you want to be a Brahmin, then you can't do any kind of work.
Thank you.
If you want to remain as a Brahmin, then there's only certain kind of work you can do. Generally, it means you teach. Or you do puja. Sometimes the Brahmins, they're maintained. If you come to a big temple, still they have so many Brahmins in South India and so on. Even here I saw in California, a very nice South Indian temple where they were very, pucker Brahmins who were saying the mantras and that's how they're maintained by the congregation. They're given some money. They live as very simply, but they're Brahmins because they're doing the Brahminical work. Therefore, we say the Brahmins are less. They're not so many Brahmins who are really Brahminical.
But he's not allowed to do the Shudra work, right?
If he does the Shudra work, then he's not a Brahmin, that's all.
That's all.
Then he's a Shudra. Therefore, it says, by work...
But like I'm saying, I want to be a Brahmin, like I want to be qualified as a Brahmin.
Yeah.
But like you say, if I work in a gas station selling beer and cigarettes and all the stuff... Yeah.
Then you can't be considered a Brahmin. But you can help the Brahmins. You're a Vaishya. That's all. Admit, okay, I'm not a Brahmin. I'm a Vaishya. I'm working in this way as a businessman. That's also respectable. No, you don't have to be envious of somebody who's a Brahmin. Just be honest. Say, okay, I'm not a Brahmin because this is my work. So what?
You allow to can do like that kind of work.
But yeah, the society, even the sutra is very, I'll give the example of the body. You don't hate the leg because it's part of the body. Similarly, we don't hate the sutra. We don't hate the Vaishya or the Kshatriya or the Brahmin. They're all required. But still, they're dealt with differently. The Brahmin should be respected. The Kshatriya should be, given tax. He should pay, something like that. That's natural. Because the Kshatriya is protecting you.
Like a
policeman. Policeman,
we have to pay. Devotees of Krishna.
Okay, in one sense, a devotee has nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with it.
But at the same time, because we live in the world, there may be just some etiquette that we have to observe. Just like it's, what did we just read here? Krishna accepted worship, but he dealt with people according to the convention, according to the social convention. In other words, we would like to see that there was a Vedic culture reestablished, a proper Vedic culture, how women are dealt with, how children are dealt with, so on. So gradually we can move in that direction because that kind of culture, Vedic culture, it makes it easier for people to become devotees. But once you're a devotee, the first place, you can become a devotee from any position. But once you become a pure devotee, then you have nothing to do with this varna and ashram. But that's a very advanced stage. So until then, we can take advantage of it. One who is at the level of perfect self-realization, he doesn't have to follow any customs or any rules or any regulation. He doesn't have to show any special. Because he's being guided by the Lord within his heart at every moment. And so he's beyond that. He's above this convention. But because this is the material world, he may still exhibit that, just like Krishna is above all this convention. But he deals with, when he's here, he doesn't want to make a disturbance. So he shows, yes. When Yudhisthira is there, because Yudhisthira is elder, he immediately touches his feet. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Does he have to touch somebody's feet? No. But because he's living in this culture, so that he shows that this is a good way to deal. Why not? We should offer respect to our parents and so on. This is culture. Now you say from the other side, yes, a devotee, he doesn't have to care about these things. But that's a high level.
What about somebody claim like, okay, I'm not eating meat, I'm not drinking, but I can sell this one. Is it true or not?
You can't sell, but there'll be some reaction.
Like restaurant.
Some karma is there. How can
a restaurant. Indian people have a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like they say, well, I'm not eating meat, but I serve meat.
So therefore, they're also implicated in some kind of karmic reaction. But it's difficult. Don't disturb their mind. And what's the use of disturbing their mind? Best thing to do with these kind of people is to get them to chant Hare Krishna, come to the temple. Then, from within, as they make advancement, they may be able to see that this is not good work. So let me try to get out of it something. Maybe I'll sell the business. Maybe, gradually, as they make advancement. Otherwise, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the use of disturbing the mind of the ignorant? If they just become disturbed, then...
So what they can do for that?
They can chant Hare Krishna. Then Krishna will direct them from within their heart. They can approach a guru when they're serious. By chanting Hare Krishna, if they become serious, then they can approach a spiritual master and he can help them. He can give them personal guidance in what to do, what not to do. But in the meantime, take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita. They can do that. They can begin to make advancement.